It's our pleasure to welcome to the show author Mike Richman. He has a brand new book. It's entitled George Allen, A Football Life, and this comes from University of Nebraska Press. Mike, welcome to the show. I'm in my 50s, and when I was growing up as a Raider fan, going to the Coliseum, John Madden was the head coach, you would hear names like Lombardi and George Allen, and like those were the two best guys. And I was a real little kid when they were still going, but they were just a little bit before my generation. Did you write this book to let people know, you know, way younger than me, like to remind them just how important George Allen is?
Yes, that's one of the reasons I wrote it, Rick. I mean, I wanted to, over the years, I tried my best to uphold the tradition of the Washington Redskins. I've written the Redskins Encyclopedia, the Redskins Ball, Joe Gibbs, an Enduring Legacy. So this was just another piece to that whole series that I've done. But I didn't just focus on the Redskins in the book. I wanted to span George Allen's life and entire coaching career. So yes, and that particular era when he coached, he was one of the elite coaches in the league, comparable to Lombardi, Don Shula. Those were his two top rivals for a while, and also Landry, Tom Landry. So definitely letting people know who George Allen was at that time. During that Cold War era, he was one of the elite coaches in the NFL, and it's a major reason, of course, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame today.
I always thought it was interesting when I was in high school that Reagan hired him to be on the physical fitness council because he reminded me of Reagan. They had the same lid.
They looked so much alike. In fact, George Felix Allen, George Allen's son, joked that they looked like they could be cousins. And actually, if you look at the photos of the two, yeah, very similar hairstyles. And also, they became friends, actually, in the 60s when Ronald Reagan was first running for governor of California. He stopped by a Rams practice, and he gave the team a pep talk. At the time, George Allen was the coach of the Rams. He became the coach of the Rams in 1966. So Reagan stopped by practice one day. He gave the team a pep talk. They lost three or four straight games. He told the story of his role in Newt Rockne All-American and George Gipp, you know, that inspiring story. He told the players that whole story. So, and then later on, as you alluded to, when Reagan became president, he appointed Allen as chair of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. And it was actually the perfect person for that position, because Allen was an exercise fanatic himself. I mean, this guy, you know, calisthenics and running on the track, hills, hitting the punching bag. I mean, he was in such great shape throughout his life.
You know, when I think about George Allen, too, he, correct me if I'm wrong, at Whittier, where Nixon went, he was the football coach and the baseball coach?
Yes, he was both the football coach and the baseball coach during that period that he was at Whittier from 1951 through 56. And, of course, that's Richard Nixon's alma mater. And contrary to a lot of popular thought, they first met at Whittier. The common belief is that they first met when they intersected in the nation's capital. Nixon was already the president for 3 years, and Allen became the Redskins coach in 1971. But they first met at Whittier at an NCAA function. Nixon had been invited, and he was very excited to meet the football coach at his alma mater. So they immediately engaged in a conversation about X's and O's, because Nixon was very astute in terms of sports. I mean, he was an amazing, just could recite all of these, you know, facts about history and even, you know, current day topics and things like that. So he, for any president who's ever resided at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, he is probably the most intelligent when it comes to sports, particularly football.
No doubt. When I think about his George Allen's tree coming over to the Rams with Sid Gilman and how he revolutionized the passing game, but then with Papa Bear all those years in Chicago under George Halas, like what were some of the things he gleaned from those type of guys?
Well, he coached under Gilman one season in 1957 with the Rams. That was actually Allen's first coaching stint in the NFL. And he learned from Gilman. First of all, Gilman was one of those workaholic coaches. And Gilman was also one of the first coaches to put so much time into watching film. And Allen picked up on that because he would later, he put a lot of time into that himself. And in fact, Nate Fine, who was his videographer and photographer with the Redskins, he produced so much film and so many still photos that Allen called him the Cecil B. DeMille of the NFL. But so that's what he picked up from Gilman, that workaholic nature, but also that religious focus on watching game film. From Halas, again, it was that workaholic part of, you know, aspect of him. Halas put so much time into game preparations. So Halas was also, a little bit of a, I should say, a spy himself, you know, which is something that Allen became noted for later in his career. He was, like, noted for these espionage missions, trying to find out what's going on with other teams, such as the Dallas Cowboys. So, but he picked those things up from Halas, the good and the bad.
A couple more questions here from Mike Richmond, the new book, George Allen, A Football Life. When I was a kid, I always thought Jack Kent Cooke looked like kind of a little megalomaniac. Like, he just seemed so weird. And he was with the Redskins when, you know, they had Otto Graham and Vince Lombardi. But when he became a full owner, that's when, you know, Allen was already established. And I think he had Jack Pardee for a year or two. But, I mean, he lucked out with Joe Gibbs, obviously, winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. But what was the relationship like? Because Cook also had the Lakers at the time. What was Allen's relationship like with that guy? Because to me, he seemed like a loose cannon.
Well, they originally met in Los Angeles. Like you said, Cook owned the Los Angeles Lakers. He also owned the Kings. And they met at that time when Allen was the head coach of the Rams, and they became they were friends. Cook would invite him over to his ranch in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California, and or however they're called, the High Sierras. But so Cook also got him tickets, Allen and his family tickets to Lakers and Kings games at the Fabulous Forum, which Cook built. So Cook actually tried to lure Allen to D.C. after the 1968 season, which was the first time Allen was fired by Rams owner Dan Reeves, which was after the 68 season. So Cook tried to get him to D.C. at that time because Otto Graham had just been fired as the Redskins coach. But Allen insisted on staying in Los Angeles. He wanted to play out his five-year contract with the Rams, which happened, and then in 1970, when Allen was fired the second time after the 1970 season, Cook and also Edward Bennett Williams, who was the minority partner for the Redskins, they both lured him to D.C. at that point. So, but that relationship with Cook actually offered, when Allen first came to D.C. in 1971, Cook offered him the opportunity to buy a percentage of the team. It wasn't part of his contract, but there was some separate letter that was sent to Cook, and he had an opportunity to buy a percentage of the team, which didn't exercise that option. But late in the later years, their relationship kind of waned. Cook didn't like his and Edward Bennett Williams didn't like his big spending ways. So, but they, getting back to L.A., they were friends at that time.
The whole thing about, you know, this is, like I said, it's a little bit before my time, but I always heard that George Allen didn't like rookies. You know, he liked established players, the sort of the over-the-hill gang. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah, so as a pro head coach, he focused almost entirely on veteran players. He did not trust rookies. He thought they were going to make mental mistakes on the field, and it's something he just wouldn't tolerate. He went after so many veteran players with the Rams. He made about 50 trades. I'm not saying they were all for what we would call veteran players or however you want to define it, but he made even more trades with the Redskins, 70 or 80 trades. So he garnered the nickname Trader George. But one interesting thing that I explored in the book is that Allen had such a keen eye for rookie talent when he served as the head talent scout for the Chicago Bears under Halas from 59 to 65. He led the drafting of three future Hall of Famers, Mike Ditka in 1961, and then Sayers and Butkus in 1965. And there were other great players that were drafted on his watch. Ronnie Bull, great running back in 1962. I believe he was NFL Rookie of the Year that season. There were a couple players in 65 who the Bears drafted, but they opted to play in the AFL. The NFL and the AFL were competing at the time still in the draft, or they had opposing drafts. So even a couple of those players turned out to be, they had really, really solid careers. One was Steve DeLong. He played for the San Diego Chargers. And also Jim Nance, running back for the Patriots in the AFL. He had a really, really good career. So Allen, in my opinion, I mean, as I wrote in the book, has to be known as one of the greatest general managers in NFL history for what he did, that keen eye for rookie talent. But anyway, I made that distinction, you know, why he had such a great eye for that talent as the head talent scout for the Bears, but then his focus was so much on veteran players when he was the head coach. I asked Bruce Allen that, his son, and also later the Raiders and Redskins executive, and Bruce seemed to think, and I agree with him, that when his father became the head coach of the Rams in 1966, the pressure was really building on head coaches to win immediately, and George Allen felt it at the time because you had those television contracts. They weren't what they are today, but they were becoming more and more lucrative, and so the pressure was there. He felt he could do it with those veteran players.
It's an amazing book, and we're just scratching the surface of a football icon. It's called George Allen, A Football Life. There's a foreword by Dick Vermeil, available from our guest author, Mike Richman, and it is through the University of Nebraska Press. Mike, congratulations, and thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. If I could just mention my website, by any chance, MikeRichmanJournalist.com. If anybody would like to get a author autographed copy of the book, they're also available on Amazon.
And I should point out, it's Rich Mann, not Rich Mund, R-I-C-H-M-A-N. Thanks a lot, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.